is a production of the Sorcerer Radio Network.
Fun imagination, huh?
Are you guys ready?
Are you ready?
From the Gator Framework Studio in Music City, it's the Disney List. The Disney List. Disney fans Kristen Hetzel and Al John Go bring you top 10 lists from the Disney parks, films, Star Wars, Marvel, news, travel tips, and more. Now prepare yourself for the Disney List.
Welcome to yet another edition of the Disney List here. Available wherever you get podcasts, as well as the Sorcerer Radio Network. Once again, thank you for joining us. I am lifelong Marvel, Disney, and Star Wars fan, Al John Go. I'm a podcaster. I'm also joined by my lovely and talented co-host, Miss Dining at Disney.com, as well as an earmarked agent. She loves to travel and it shows. Kristen, hello.
Hello. And I am joined by Thor, our precious little kitty cat.
Our little kitty cat.
He thinks he's a podcat.
He is a podcatter. He's a podcat. He's fun. Hey, once again, we'd love for you to subscribe to our show. Follow us on all the social media, especially Facebook. That's the best way you can follow us. Click that bell for notifications every time we go live. When we do the live video show, when we do the live recording of our podcast, we do appreciate it. You can also email us there at thedisneylist@gmail.com. And you can go to visit our anchor page. Go to visit our anchor page. That sounds so weird. Visit our anchor page at the Disney List. And there you can leave us voicemails. You can participate in polls. You can answer questions or ask us questions, rather. And this week, Kristen, what is our topic for discussion?
We are discussing our top 10 Disney park experiences.
Awesome.
Ones that we have had.
That's great. And without any further ado, let us get into our top 10.
It's the Disney List. Top 10.
So we have a top 10 list, Kristen.
Yes.
And what is our top 10 once again?
It is our top 10 Disney park experiences.
And these are personal experiences we've had over the times we've been going to Walt Disney World or Disneyland, which is fun. When was your first trip to Walt Disney World or Disneyland, Kristen?
My first trip to Walt Disney World was exactly 30 years ago. I went for the 20th anniversary.
That's awesome. When did I go? My first park was Disneyland back in 1984, I think.
Wow.
Yeah, 1984, maybe. And then Walt Disney World in 1992. And that's where I was also performing with my marching band for Magic Music Days.
I still have my Magic Music Day shirt.
You know what? Before my dad moved out of the house, his old house, the old house we grew up in, we still had our Magic Music Day shirt. Now, but I think by now they're all gone. I think we donated a lot of that stuff. I mean, it's been a long, long time. But we went through a few of these things. We talked through it, and they're pretty cool. All said and done, we did some really cool things throughout our time there at the parks. So I tell you what, let's go ahead and do the number thing. It's been a long time since I hit these number pads, Kristen.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
The Disney. What? What was that? I actually have some other sound effects that I used to cue up here. Here we go.
Number 10.
There we go.
At number 10 is the D23 Expo.
How many of these have we been to, Kristen? A handful?
Let's see. The 2011, 2013, 2015, 2019. So that's what, four?
Yeah. So we missed one or two.
Two. Because we didn't go to the first one. The first one was like a week or so after my first trip to Disneyland.
Mm-hmm.
And then we
missed out on the last.
The 2017. Oh, because of work.
I had to work. That's right.
Yep, because they changed the date to be in July that year.
I can't believe it. Yeah. Ugh. What a disappointment. It was such a disappointment. But I think we love the D23 Expo, not only because of all the panels and programming. I mean, it's a big Comic-Con for Disney. So there's a lot of people, a lot of cosplayers, a lot of great panels. But we love meeting up with our friends. It's just a great excuse to go hang out with your friends. Not that you have to have an expo, but you go to the panels together. You wait in line together. You have lunch, dinner. You meet at the hotel. You hang out. You have drinks afterwards. It's just a great hang with like-minded friends that love Disney, love the parks, love the films and everything. So it's just a lot of fun.
Well, last time was quite interesting because our first night, the hotel had no power.
Okay, so let's talk about that a little bit. So 2019, we ended up hanging out and actually staying at the same hotel with our friends, Bubba and Taylor. And of course, Bubba and Taylor, Bubba is your co-host on Dining at Disney podcast. Taylor oftentimes will coach Bubba from the sidelines. And we were at the hotel, we checked in, and all of a sudden, we get back from dinner, no power.
Yeah, there was no power. They had glow sticks.
Yeah.
Yeah, glow sticks that they were passing out to everybody.
Well, I would say they did what they could. It's really strange to have a hotel so close to Disneyland, not have a backup generator for one. Or someone didn't do their job and fill that generator with gas or what have you. But they did order Subway for everybody, right? They did. Or Panera or some manager ended up buying a bunch of stuff.
I think it was Panera.
Which was,
It was something better than Subway.
Yeah. So we ended up eating, you know, getting some food and just sitting in the lobby, just hanging out and talking in the dark with these glow sticks. So everybody looked like Bruce Banner of all things. But that was one thing that happened surrounding the D23 Expo.
Broke the bottle of perfume.
What?
I broke a bottle of perfume because I was walking around in the dark with a glow stick and bumped into my bag, and the bottle of perfume fell out and I heard, psh, I was like, no, I know what that is.
I don't even remember that.
Yep.
But that's not the only thing that happened at a D23 Expo. I don't know if this is on the rest of the list, Kristen. I don't recall, but do you remember when we were doing the Sorcerer Radio WDW Tiki Room, our former podcast name, WDW Tiki Room meet and greet Electronica or something we were doing at Disneyland?
I don't remember if it was Electronica or if it was Mad Tea Party.
Mad Tea Party. Maybe it was Mad Tea Party.
I know. We did a few meetups.
I don't remember.
There.
But anyway, so we did a meetup. We did a Sorcerer Radio Disney Parks podcast meetup at Trader Sam's.
Yes, we did do that. That was fun and quite interesting.
We had a bunch of people come out. It was great. We're handing out Sorcerer Radio swag and all kinds of stuff. And then John Lasseter happened to be doing a D23 party for like everyone in the art department or whatever he was working on. And like, no one could come and go into Trader Sam's. Now, if you don't know about Trader Sam's is a tiki bar that is located in downtown Disney.
Actually, it's a Disneyland hotel.
It's a Disneyland hotel. Yeah. Okay, Disneyland hotel property. And so a lot of times people can go inside. It's a very small bar on the inside, but that's where all the fun happens. The cast members, the bartenders, they fix you drinks. It's very theatrical. They have a lot of moving elements, just like they do the Enchanted Tiki Room there at Disneyland. And then there's an outdoor seating area and
The building is separate from the rest of the hotel.
Right.
And it's got like a little quick service location that was on the back side of it.
Yeah. Yeah. But John Lasseter and everybody was there and they would not let Kristen use the restroom. She's like, can I please use the restroom? Otherwise she'd have to walk clear across.
Like there was a whole ordeal with the whole situation with the cast members too, with that.
And they're typically not that way. But I don't know if it was just a heightened situation because of John Lasseter being there or whatever. But all she had to do is just run in and use the restroom. And she couldn't do it. And it was just not a good time there. But anyway.
No, but we did have other meets there too.
Oh yeah, we had other meets there.
Yeah.
And they were all great. But you have to wait in line. Because that place gets super packed, especially when we go on the weekends. It gets like insanely packed. But anyway, what else can we say about the D23 Expo other than the meeting up with friends and having meetups with everybody and listeners? And
it's just fun.
It is a fun time. Disney Legends Ceremony. Love it. It's probably one of my favorite. That and the Marvel panels. Always great. Alrighty then.
Number 9.
What we got?
This is one of my favorite things that we have done several times, and it takes place in the fall over at Swan and Dolphin, and it is their Food and Wine Classic. Mm. They have it. It's a ticketed event. You can get a ticket that covers unlimited food and drink, which is amazing. And they do it on a Friday and a Saturday night. So you pick which night you want a ticket for. And then they have other options that you can add on to that. So you can add on like their beer garden for a certain amount of money. Then you can have access to the beer garden area. They do cool little like mixologies and then wine tastings, kind of educational courses prior to the event. Which, of course, those are for additional cost, but we've done several of those as well. And they're a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. And it's great because it all takes place outside in the causeway between Swan and Dolphin Resort. So that whole little area set up. The chefs are all there. So you can even, if you are a fan of Todd English, you can even meet Todd English, which I sat down the one time and did an interview with him. And
a noisy interview, but it was an interview. It was good.
But
I mean, Blue Zoo's an amazing restaurant, but you know, talking to Chef English was just great because he's a rock and roller. He plays guitar, which I totally dig. And we talked about Aerosmith and a lot of different things. And he just was super cool.
Yes, he was very nice.
Nice. Yeah, I like the Food and Wine Classic a lot because you get all the different flavors from. And the restaurants are all top notch. I mean, if you love steak, you got Shula's, you love sushi, you've got Kimono's sushi there, all the great desserts, all the chefs are there. Awesome barbecue as well. And they have live music from a show band. So they'll have several different show bands there. Usually it's two. So they'll have some band doing some classic rock or some pop. And sometimes like we had that, the Jersey Boys tribute that came out and did music for that, but they'll have great merch, great people. Once again, a lot of fun, but the food is excellent. And then, just like the Epcot International Food and Wine Festival, you'll go around and you have a little plate and then they give you these little small plates of tastings. So,
and you can go back as many times as you want.
Yeah. It is a hard ticket event. So you do pay for it, but man, is it worth it?
Yeah.
And they also have food and beverage seminars there as well. So if you want to do a wine tasting or a wine pairing with a sommelier, we've done that before. They've also done beer flight tastings.
They do food ones too.
Yeah. So just if you want to learn more about food, it's great that they have those seminars in there as well. So it's always a must-do event. Usually we try to get done doing our anniversary trip, Food and Wine Classic, and the International Food and Wine Festival, and maybe a Halloween party all in a week.
And Food and Wine Weekends
and Food and Wine Weekends over at Waldorf Astoria. Oh, man, talk about a crazy, crazy time. Yeah, those are the best. Yes. Anyway, and we are at
number 8.
Yes.
I'm going to let you mention this one.
So here we are with the Osborne Family Lights. I miss that. Right? Did I say that right?
Yeah. Osborne Family.
I'm just making sure.
Spectacle of Dancing Lights.
Well, I was going to say because, first of all, you wrote the list, and I just want to make sure that I'm reading them in order, not throwing off the vibe here. But I miss the Osborne Family Lights. Hollywood Studios every year used to be up until a couple years ago. I think they said their farewell in 2016. Trying to remember when the last hurrah was, because I got a shirt that commemorates that. But I miss it every year. Used to be at Hollywood Studios, they would take the Streets of America back lot and they would decorate it with all of the Osborne Family Lights. And I think the Osborne Family, if I'm not mistaken, was originally from Arkansas, and they had all of these great lights. And one of the very first popular light shows that were choreographed to music, and Disney enjoyed it so much. Basically, just in short form, they just brought the entire show over. They did enhancements to it, and they would do these showings throughout the holidays in that back lot. And then they would do the fake snow, and then you go around and people would wear all their Christmas stuff. They would sell the Christmas stuff out there, like the lights around the neck, the little Christmas lights around the neck and the Christmas hats and everything. And it was just an awesome show. Lights, music, lasers, fake snow, hot cocoa, sugar cookies. What could be wrong with that? I mean, it's like everything you love about the holidays coming to life there at Hollywood Studios. And I still miss it. I miss it a lot.
Well, we used to start down at the far end of it, mm-hmm. Because you had that quick service location that was there. And they would theme the bar that was right next to it, adjacent to it. They would always theme that and had all those like holiday cocktails. And so we would always start there, get ourselves like a holiday cocktail, and then walk all the way down through all of it to the end where, you know, the writer's stop was.
Well, there you go. So yes, it debuted in 1995 and was retired in 2016, January 6th of 2016. And we saw the last day of it.
No.
Wasn't it?
We saw the first day
of the last run.
Yes.
Oh my goodness. Yes.
Yes, because we stayed and drove home overnight because we wanted to make sure we caught it.
Yeah, there it is. So yeah, the Jennings Osborne, along with his wife Mitzi, founded the Arkansas Research of Medical Testing Center in Little Rock, Arkansas. And because of their business, they ended up doing a, what is it, 1,000 lights around their home.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there you go.
It said eventually they purchased two properties adjacent in order to expand the display.
Yeah. Crazy.
Yes.
Absolutely crazy, but just amazing. Love, I miss the Osborne Family Lights. I was hoping they would bring it back and put it in Disney Springs at some point.
They should.
Ah, that'd be nice if they would. I'm Al John Go, podcaster and producer of the Disney List, Skull Rock Podcast, and Dining at Disney. When you're creating content, podcast, webcasting, live streaming, or wanting to step up your video conference calls, you need quality gear and accessories. That's why I use Gator Frameworks in my studio. From professional broadcast boom arms and microphone stands, studio monitor speaker stands, ring light kits, headphone holders, elite furniture studio desks, and acoustic wall treatments, Gator Frameworks has you covered. Gator is the leading brand of cases, stands, and support system solutions for music, pro AV, creative pro, IT, and general utility industries. They have over 1,000 different solutions made from vacuform plastics, rational molded plastics, wood, sewn, and EVA materials. Leveraging their expertise in case design and manufacturing, Gator has a complete OEM division that works with leading companies around the world to engineer and create custom cases for original equipment manufacturers. For more information, visit GatorFrameworks.com. Product provided in exchange for promotional consideration. I'm Al John Goh, co-host of the Disney List podcast, as heard on Sorcerer Radio, as well as Skull Rock podcast, here with my wife, Kristen. Hello.
Hello.
You are an earmarked agent who books Disney travel vacations for people all the time. Give our listeners a reason why they'd want to give you a call instead of just booking a trip by themselves.
Well, I can do all of the legwork for them. I have expertise. I've been to the Disney parks well over 100 times, so they've got that knowledge at their hand, as well as it saves them time and money.
Where can people get in touch with you so that they can book their next Disney cruise, Disney park trip, Adventures by Disney?
They can contact me at themeparksandcruises@gmail.com.
I'm Al John Goh, podcaster and producer of the Disney List, Skull Rock Podcast, and Dining at Disney. When you're creating content, podcasts, webcasting, live streaming, or wanting to step up your video conference calls, you need quality gear and accessories. That's why I use Gator Frameworks in my studio. From professional broadcast boom arms and microphone stands, studio monitor speaker stands, ring light kits, headphone holders, elite furniture studio desks, and acoustic wall treatments, Gator Frameworks has you covered. Gator is the leading brand of cases, stands, and support system solutions for music, pro AV, creative pro, IT, and general utility industries. They have over 1,000 different solutions made from vacuum-form plastics, rational molded plastics, wood, sewn, and EVA materials. Leveraging their expertise in case design and manufacturing, Gator has a complete OEM division that works with leading companies around the world to engineer and create custom cases for original equipment manufacturers. For more information, visit GatorFrameworks.com. Product provided in exchange for promotional consideration.
Skull Rock Podcast, talking all things Disney, with your hosts, Al John Goh and Dave Bossert.
You'd just love to learn more about the magic that embodies animated films, theme park attractions, and more? The all-encompassing universe created and produced by the genius of Walt Disney has spanned nearly 100 years and counting.
From his earliest film endeavors with the Laugh-O-Gram cartoons and the Alice comedies, to the creation of Mickey Mouse, to the first animated feature film, Snow White and the Seven Dwarves, and then dreaming of Disneyland, Walt Disney continuously raised the creative bar, and today his company has carried on that tradition as a global entertainment juggernaut. I'm Dave Bossert, artist, filmmaker, and author.
And I'm Al John Goh, musician, podcaster, and radio guy. Every week, Dave and I will explore the entertainment galaxy that is Disney with insightful conversation, stories, and special guests talking all things Disney.
Listen to never-before-heard stories and behind-the-scenes moments from some of your favorite Disney films, theme park attractions, performances, books, music, and so much more from knowledgeable, insightful, and thought-provoking hosts and guests. Hear the latest news about Disney past, present, and future.
Skull Rock Podcast is your go-to source for the magic we all love. Skull Rock Podcast. Visit skullrockpodcast.com. All right.
Number 7.
So here we are.
You briefly mentioned this one.
Oh, yeah. Electronica and Mad Tea Party. So I, and those are Disneyland. First of all, let's talk about Mad Tea Party. Mad Tea Party.
I have a cool Mad Tea Party like hoodie.
People went crazy for Mad Tea Party.
Oh, yeah.
And honestly, I love the show. I'm a musician myself. I love the band, love the theme, love the costumes, love the music. I mean, definitely. I played in cover bands my entire life, but this band, they were great. But man, people were ravenous. They just were crazy about this band. And I'm thinking to myself, man, you know, we live in Nashville, so we see great musicians all the time. But oh my gosh, what is up with these Disney fans loving this cover band? I mean, they're
I don't
great.
Know, but they knew they would know everybody's name, And then they would be able to tell you, like, oh, they also are in this show, or they also do this. And
I mean, it's cool.
And they have their own band outside of this. And she's the singer for this band called blah, 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 blah. You
know, like, and we just sat there. We're like, okay. It's great. Well,
and I kept, the thing that got me is because you never see anything like that from the pass holders at Walt Disney World. It's not.
Not like that. Not like that. I mean, like, because we had off kilter. We had a couple different bands and people loved them. First of all, Mulch, Sweat, and Cheers. People loved Mulch, Sweat, and Cheers. We did. We loved the Beatles tribute. They were great. We loved the British Invasion. And we loved Off Kilter, of course. Even Mo Rockin', you know, and different incarnations of that band at Walt Disney World. But we love the musicians and the bands that play in the parks. But I tell you what, the Mad Tea Party fans were some of the most loyal and absolutely just nutty about the band fans. And it's great. I mean, they put on a great show. But
I mean, people were fans like people are fans of, like, the Beatles.
I wouldn't say that. I would say they were fans like No Doubt has fans, right? Like,
I don't know. There were some pretty crazy people that would go like to the park specifically just to see the band and were there like every night. I mean, there was some of that was crazy.
Yeah, it was crazy. But
the thing that I liked is I loved the costumes and I'm a huge fan of, a lot of things Tim Burton does, but Alice in Wonderland is one of my favorites, and his remake of it is just cool.
Well, that show was great, and Electronica was great too. Electronica was just a party, you know. You had of course, a tie-in with Tron Legacy that came out,
kind of rave sort of feel. Yeah,
kind of electronic music. Great DJs, of course. Awesome DJs, a lot of fun. Flynn's Arcade, all the great themed drinks that they would have there at Disneyland. I mean, that was awesome. We had a blast there. And we also had meetups at both of them. So yeah, go figure. So those are some fun. I mean, I think once again, meeting with your friends in that party atmosphere that you can have at the park because it's a Disney thing. It's themed Disney. You're there with your Disney friends. A lot of fun can be had there. So if you love rock and roll and tribute bands, cover bands, you'll love the Mad Tea Party. And apparently, you know, they still have some reunions on occasion and fans come out and see them outside of Disney. So that's kind of neat. Yeah.
Number six.
This one is going to be the Disney After Hours event. We did that over in Magic Kingdom with our friend Jason, and that was thanks to him. He treated us to that, which was really cool.
Yes.
And it was so much better than I had thought it was going to be. I love the fact that every attraction, like literally you walked right on to Peter Pan's flight. And when do you walk on to Peter Pan's flight? Never. Like 40 minutes is a short wait.
Yeah.
For Peter Pan's flight.
Yeah, it was just, once again, a lot of fun. And there weren't a lot of people there, so you could really enjoy yourself at those Disney After Hours parties. Special programming they had there. Character meet and greets. Okay, that's where it's a lot of fun for me. Because you and I love getting our picture taken with the characters. And the after hours are not, I mean, they have lines and everything, but it's not as crowded as normal. So if you ever wanted to get your picture taken in, you know, really cool circumstances, those are great times to go get your picture taken with them. And they seem to be a lot more energetic, maybe.
You also get really cool snacks too. So you can get popcorn, bottled beverages are included, as well as the ice cream treats. So you can have as many premium Mickey bars as your tummy can hold.
Oh my goodness. This is true, but you have to get there early. Like I said last time.
You don't want to wait until you're about to leave.
No, because they might be like, nope, you can't get them.
They've already, they're like, nope, we're done. We're wrapping it up, people.
Yeah, so get your popcorn included in all your snacks early and drinks early, and then take them around. If you happen to need a refill, then get some more on your way out. I remember seeing people, and I don't know if they do this anymore, but man, there were people there with like clear bags of just, you know, and trash bags full of just snacks and stuff. They would just load up.
Oh, that's right. We saw that person walk out with the whole Disney bag filled with water bottles.
Dude, what are you going to do with all that?
They're going to use them for the rest of their week.
Yeah. I mean, geez, man, get a locker, dude. Anyway.
Number five.
This one is Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party.
Mm-hmm. We have a penchant for hard ticket events, I guess.
We did this one too with our friend Jason a couple of times.
Yes. Yes, we did. And we met up with, once again, a lot of friends, but I enjoy doing Halloween at Magic Kingdom. It's just decorated very, very well. It's so much fun. And another opportunity to do some little Disney bounding or cosplay or whatever you want to do. You know, I know that you can't wear masks and everything like that. And, you know, this is pre-pandemic. So, but Chris and I always had a lot of fun. You want to run down some of the costumes we wore over time there at the party?
Let's see. We did Alice in the Mad Hatter.
Yep, from the live action movie.
We did Thor. Elizabeth Swan, yep. And
Jack.
Captain Jack.
Mm-hmm.
Jack Sparrow.
Captain Jack Skellington.
Sif, was it Sif and Thor?
Yes.
What else did we do?
You did a Disney bound. We did Disney bound one year when we covered it for the press.
Yeah, because I did the Snow White for
that. Snow White, and then I did the Rebel Pilot.
Okay.
Skywalker. And I think we dressed up Evil Queen and Prince Charming.
Yes.
When it was raining, so that was a little rough. But I'm trying to think of what other costumes we did, but yeah, those are just some of the costumes that we did for Mickey's Not So Scary back in the day.
I like how they have unique character experiences that you can't have in the parks on a regular basis. So, I mean, you've got the villains that are there, which is really cool.
Yeah.
But you also have, you know, where they'll have like
Tarzan,
Rapunzel and Flynn Rider together. And like you said, Tarzan and Jane and Turk, where you get all three of them. And yeah. Or they've had Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs.
Yeah. When do you ever get to see all seven dwarfs? When?
Never.
Other than the Halloween party. Never. Oh, how about Hades?
Well, you mentioned the villains. Yeah, you get the villains. Yeah. So like Cruella and Hades, Gaston, and Facilier. Of course, this was, you know, seeing Gaston in the park before New Fantasyland was, you know, wasn't something that happened unless it was at Halloween.
Yeah. And then all the Disney characters, the Fab Five, in their Halloween outfits, which only happens during this hard ticket event, really.
And then they would do the dance parties. You would have like Stitch's dance party.
Yes.
And, yeah.
Chipmunks would be there. So yeah,
and their little costumes.
Yeah. Yeah. So that is great. And I know that the Halloween party is taking a different, the Boo Bash is a little bit different than Mickey's Not So Scary, but those were always fun. The dance parties were fun. Getting all the trick or treat candy. The parade. How can you forget the parade?
Oh, the parade's the best part.
Yeah. It's the best part. You have the Headless horseman run down Main Street, and it's just great. And of course, you have the entire cast of characters and their floats and everything.
And see, I don't think he runs like he used to run, where you like had to be prepared.
No,
because there was the accident the one time. So yeah, now he takes his time.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely great. But, I think if you're down there, the Halloween parties are definitely a must do. And we're looking forward to checking out the newest incarnation of that, the Boo Bash. But, the Halloween fireworks are also great. The Boo Tube party, but we didn't even talk about Hallowishes. Hallowishes, when they used to have that, was an amazing firework spectacular. This is one of my favorite firework shows, nighttime
spectacular. I just love the music for all of it, like everything, not just the music that you could like get the CD for back in the day, but you also had, songs like Off With Their Head that they remixed and stuff like that were... We're great.
Yes.
Number four.
Oh, wow. We're winding down. So here we are with the, carriage ride at Port Orleans. So did you know that you could actually call a Dreammaker on the phone while you're at the resort, or even before you go to the resort, and schedule a carriage ride across Port Orleans resort?
They'll let you even buy a bottle of like champagne or wine.
They did. Yeah.
To drink. They'll open it up for you there and you can drink it on your carriage ride. And
yeah, you'll just go, around a little bit of the perimeter of the resort, have a little romantic carriage ride, and they pop the bubbly. You guys have a little sip, and then the horse takes a little bit of a 5-10 minute break in between because it is getting a little tiring. Get water, and if the horse needs a little bit of a respite, you can do that. But wow, what a cool experience. And I remember back in the day, I don't know how many years ago, Kristen, but of course we were celebrating our anniversary, because we oftentimes go during our anniversary trips in the fall. And I was thinking to myself, what special something could we do could I do for our anniversary that we've never done? And this came up as one of them. And maybe we'll do it again real soon now that we have our kiddos might even enjoy it. But it's a very special time. Could be very romantic for sure. You need to book this in advance, and you need to do it in cash. Yeah. Bring cash. They may have changed it since the last time we did it, but it is something cool. But you'll have to call call Disney Dreammakers there at the resort in order to book that experience at Port Orleans. And you don't have to stay there either to book that experience.
Yes, that is true. Because we were staying at Coronado Springs that time.
That's right. We are at...
number three.
Okay. Oh, we're here already.
This one.
All right. Sip and Stroll.
No, I was going to have you do that one next.
Oh, this one? Okay, you were... that's not in order. Okay. So... So, we were chosen... This is interesting, gang. Are you ready for this? I didn't even know this was a thing because of Disneyland, because we very rarely go
to Disneyland. This was my first trip to Disneyland, right? The second trip to Disneyland.
Maybe second trip to Disneyland. But there was a point where we were bi-coastal annual pass holders, right?
Yes, and I don't think that happened with that, did it?
I think so.
Okay.
Because we spent our anniversary at Walt Disney World and at Disneyland. We split it. And so first part, I think we did Disneyland, and we were chosen... I don't know. Maybe it was because, Kristen will say it was because of her smile, because it's true. She gets stuff when she smiles.
We were the only people with mouse ears on.
Yeah, we're adults with mouse ears on. Well, you had mouse ears and I had my Donald Duck hat on. And they're like, well, you seem like the perfect people to be the mayor and family of Toontown. And I said, well, that's great. Well, yes, we'll be the mayor and family of Toontown. So we get this little ceremony. I know it's caught on video somewhere. Somewhere it's on video. I think it's on my digital camera from back in the day. I got to find that footage somewhere. But wow, how cool was it, us getting on there? And they ended up asking us where we were from and yada, yada, yada. And then they do this whole little musical thing. And
then all these families looking at us like, I hate those people. They don't have kids and they're being chosen. They had that face, that mean face that people give you. The evil eye.
I guess. Well, anyway, it was a lot of fun. And it, of course, I said this about everything. It was a lot of fun. But we're looking back on our top 10 personal experiences at the Disney parks. And this was one of them. Very excited to have our picture taken with Mickey and friends there in Toontown and get a little certificate. So they give you a certificate that you still have that has a little Mickey and friends stickers and it's signed. Let's say you're honorary mayor of Toontown.
Yes.
So how neat is that? What a great keepsake. Very rare keepsake. So I dig that. Okay. So now we are at
number two.
And that is going to be.
Go ahead.
The first sip and stroll that we attended, which was actually the second year they did the sip and stroll. Mm. And it was really cool because we got, I want to say it was like a Friday night and we had dinner and it was held inside the American Adventure Pavilion. And that was amazing. It was Bob Gurr's birthday. So he was like the special guest for, for, you know, the event. And
so cool.
He was really great to get to talk to. Entertaining. He just is such a happy guy when you talk to him.
And by the way, happy 90th birthday, Bob Gurr. So it was his birthday yesterday. Or the other day. Yeah.
Yeah. It was his 80th birthday is what he was celebrating.
Oh, was it 80th birthday?
When we were there.
Oh, well, when he was, but not that's anymore.
What I'm talking about. No, when we were there, that's what I'm talking about.
Well, yeah. And now.
So they brought out like a birthday
weekend.
Cake.
Well, yeah. And this weekend too. It's his actual birthday.
Okay. Well, they brought out, I'm talking about the event. We're talking about the event.
Yes. Yes.
And since it was his birthday, they brought out like a big cake and everybody got a piece of Bob's cake. And the next day you have your presentation, early in the day. And then they had different places like, at, 2 o'clock, meet at this pavilion. And they did group pictures and we got cool things to take, take away from it. I'm trying to think. I know we got little stoppers for wine bottles that say sip and stroll.
Yeah.
There was like special patches that we got. And I mean, it was really cool. A lot of fun.
Yeah, the food and drink were great. We
were there with friends again. Yep.
Music City Mouseketeers, which was great.
We were there with Steve.
And Steve from Sorcerer Radio and Monorail Tales podcast now. And of course, just meeting Bob Gurr, as you said, he's just the greatest one of the great Imagineers, worked with Walt and took the time to talk to every one of us, each and every one of us took the time. And that's where it totally shines. You know, you oftentimes look at these Imagineers being hardcore Disney fans and you have the opportunity to maybe meet one. Maybe, it's just a casual conversation or a hi, but we actually had legitimate conversation and it's not the first time we've had that conversation. You know, he opened court and he was just entertaining everybody. And we were sitting there in the American Pavilion and I was talking to him about just anything and everything about his career. And he would just open up and talk to everybody and tell stories and just a really great personal experience to spend time with a legend like Bob Gurr and how nice of a man he is. So really, really kind with his fans and kind with, the time, very generous. So, all right. I think we're at
number one.
Lee Beatons would appreciate me in mentioning the fact that not only he messaged me, he said, "Well, John, I'm back blogging at Disneylandia again," which is great. Disney.com. And the fact that I didn't mess up pressing any of my buttons this week on the show. So thank you, Lee, in advance. What is our number one?
Our number one is us getting to be Grand Marshals.
What?
At Magic Kingdom and the parade.
Okay, I'll let you tell this story.
No, I'm going to let you tell it because you enjoy telling the story.
So, how did we do this? It's kind of strange. And it just started when we were getting to Magic Kingdom. We had some weirdness happen with our annual pass. And it was very frustrating. And we're very kind of fed up. We're like, oh, gosh, you know, I don't want to be that person, but we were just kind of, you know, really upset and we're trying to shake it off. And we're walking through Main Street and I was just kind of really just upset, you know, still because it took forever to kind of get through the turnstile and get cast members to help us. It's not their fault, but it just took a long time. So in my frustration, I'm sitting there, you know, my arms folded like, oh, I can't believe it, you know, just kind of grumpy about it. And then cast member walks up to us.
Yes, he was walking out of one of the stores on Main Street and we were getting ready to walk into that store that he had come out of.
Yeah, on Main Street.
And he had stopped us and asked if we would be interested in being Grand Marshals in the parade. And we got special mouse ears.
Yes.
With our names on it.
I think I'm going to make that the thumbnail for this podcast.
And I got to do the little princess wave.
Yeah.
So, I thought it was so much fun. I could not believe how long the parade route is.
Mm-hmm.
At the, like, from beginning to end, you mm-hmm. don't realize really what a long time that parade actually is going and that the poor cast members are out there and like dying in the heat. I just, the end of my cheeks hurt so bad from smiling so much.
Oh yeah.
But it was fun because, you know, you get to like wish people happy birthday and a happy anniversary and all of that kind of stuff from the car that you're in.
Well, let's back the truck up a little bit.
Okay.
Because when the cast member asked us, he escorted us backstage and presented the hats, as you mentioned, mm-hmm. and gave us our little twirly ribbons that we have to twirl the entire time, right? So we have those little, we have the little twirly ribbons on a stick, you know, kind of like you're, you know, doing a little gymnastics thing at the Olympics where you're twirling a little ribbon around. So they put you in the carriage, you're backstage, everything's closed off and the characters are starting to come out. And of course they have all, you know, they're all made up and everything and no one's going off without their little mask off or anything like that. But everyone is dressed up and ready to go. They're waving to you from behind things. Like Chip and Dale was like waving at us backstage. And I was like, oh, that's cool. That's cool. We don't get a chance to see everybody do this and get set up for the parade. And they're all following us. All right.
And actually, we're following them. You cannot take any pictures, no cameras, no phones, nothing out
backstage. No.
When you're backstage, because there is a chance you could see something that
you're not supposed to see.
Could ruin the magic for somebody else.
Right. And they say now, okay, you know, here's your little ribbon and you're supposed to wave at everybody coming down. Make sure you smile real big and like you're really having a good time. Of course you're having a good time. You know, you're at Disney, right? But yeah, Kristen's right. I mean, your smiling muscles were like, you're sitting there and you're talking, we're talking to each other, having to smile. And we're like, oh, this is great. Oh, my face hurts, you know, from smiling so much. Cause you have to, you know, smile and do this. But it is really neat, though, because the kids see you in the carriage and, you know, and they're waving at you. You're looking at those happy birthday buttons and things like that. And you're saying happy birthday and just kind of mouthing happy birthday to everybody and doing the little prince and princess waves. So, yeah, that was a magical time. So, yeah, it definitely turned our frown upside down for sure.
Well, and the other cool thing is, because you are, well, you didn't have to wish people happy birthday and stuff. We just did that because
It's fun. I think
it's
that
it's fun. It adds to it. You know, I mean, you see characters do things like that to, you know, people, but to see like growing adults get excited when you're wishing them a happy birthday is like really cool.
Yeah. They got into it when we got into it. And that's really part of the fun. You get to be part of the show. And we weren't asking for this. It just, these things kind of happened to us. And we're very grateful that it did, because it gave us more magical memories, more than we could ever experience, you know, wish for, just to be part of the parade, be mayors of Toontown at Disneyland, and to be part of the parade and grand marshals at Walt Disney World was very magical, very cool. And to this day, that is definitely a memory that stands out the most, you know. But all of these memories, these top 10 that we shared with you, they're great personal stories of us. And there's a lot more. We had magical moments with cast members during our anniversaries and things that happened. And we can't wait to continue to share these stories with you as time goes on during our shows. So, but anyway, what do you think, Kristen? Those were fun.
Yes.
Good times. Well, thank you everybody for joining us to get another edition of the Disney List. Be sure to check us out and subscribe to our show, because we give you these lists, top tens, rankings, top fives, and all kinds of stuff, from the Disney theme parks to films, animation, to Star Wars and Marvel. So be sure to click that bell for notifications on our Facebook page whenever every time we go live, as well as subscribe to our show. Send us those emails there as well at thedisneylist@gmail.com. Because Kristen is such an awesome person, she would love to help you book and plan your next Disney vacation or Universal vacation or any cruise line. Kristen, what else can you do for them?
I can get them the best deal available for their travel dates.
Is that right? Mm-hmm. Is that right? Because you've been to the parks over 100 times.
And I can answer all of their questions.
Because you've been to the park 100 times and plus.
Right? Oh, well, I stopped adding it up like about 5 years ago. But 5 years ago, I had hit that I had been to the parks more days than there are in a year.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. So, but I mean, and not bad for not being a local, but I think it just goes to prove that not every travel agent has the experience. But having said that, Kristen, where can people email you to get your free quote?
At themeparksandcruises@gmail.com.
And what else is going on with you in Dining at Disney podcast?
Well, I just did a review of The Nightmare Before Christmas Advent Calendar of Ghoulish Delights. So you definitely want to check that out. This coming week, I'm not sure what we're going to be talking about.
You're probably going to talk more about the cookie stroll.
Oh, yeah. We're going to be talking about the holidays coming to the parks.
Nice.
That'll definitely be one of the shows.
Awesome. Well, once again, follow Kristen at Dining at Disney and Dining at Disney Podcast and book your trip with her. You can find me, Al John Go, on Instagram. You can also check out our sister show there, Skull Rock Podcast, as well. Dave Bossert and I have had all kinds of guests on that have been animators and musicians and all kinds of behind-the-scenes stories from people from the parks as well as pop culture. Skull Rock Podcast, everywhere you get podcasts. And once again, thank you, Sorcerer Radio at srsounds.com, Sorcerer Radio Disney Fun Zone, and on Discord, we're there with Sorcerer Radio. We even have our own Discord for the Disney List, as well as Skull Rock Podcast and Dining at Disney. Just find them on Discord, join the conversation. And be sure to find us and subscribe to us everywhere you get podcasts. I'm Al John.
And I'm Kristen.
And we'll see you real soon.
This podcast is not affiliated with the Walt Disney Company or its holdings and is intended for entertainment purposes.
I'm Kristen Hetzel, co-host of Dining at Disney podcast. Every week I chat about dining at Disneyland and Walt Disney World Resort and Disney Cruise Line with my fellow foodie, Bubba. We also feature restaurants and food reviews, information to help you plan your dining, Disney food news, recipes, and a monthly panel discussion. Visit diningatdisney.com and subscribe to Dining at Disney podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcast, iHeartRadio, or your favorite podcast platform. Dining at Disney podcast, the happiest plate on earth.